a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
My name is Patrick Creighton, and I am the advocate for Paul Gallant. At least today I am. DC in for Paulie G, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the Trump listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Sean A. Mapes on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go because, well, you know you want to. So Paul is not in, so I am allowed in the building while the sun is up today and my vampire skin did not singe somehow, some way. Must be because I drive a black car and it kept the sun off of me. But here I am, undamaged, in the morning. What's up, Sean?
Doing good, doing good. You're looking good in the daylight. Nice to finally actually get to see you.
Hey, you know, the rumors are untrue. I am not a ghost.
Yeah, an apparition that comes in after Champ of the Day and the Wheelhouse.
I'm pale enough to be a ghost, but I'm not a ghost. I am real.
My weekend started early.
Look at that.
No Paul on a Friday. Let's go.
So what is the PG train doing today?
Prepping for rodeo. He's really, some would say he's been prepping all week for the rodeo cook-off or something. I don't know. Paul's always got something.
He's prepping?
He's wearing a cowboy hat, probably drinking a hard seltzer right now.
So he's just chilling?
Well, prepping.
Yeah, chilling. So, first year that
he's
I was down
here. He's doing Paul stuff.
My first year down here was 2013. And I didn't know anything about the rodeo, the barbecue cook-off, or any of this stuff. And I was working at, the Texans flagship back in the day. Actually, so was Paul. We both were working there. And that was when I learned all about the cook-off and the rodeo and whatnot, where I fell in love with rodeo, even though I hate country music, and learned that there was an actual barbecue cook-off. I was like, what is this? And God bless her, Cleverly Stone, who sadly is no longer with us, is the creator of what became Houston Restaurant Weeks. She was also the preeminent food critic in Houston. She worked at Fox 26. And she had Nate and I out at the barbecue cook-off sampling food, all these different barbecue tents. And it's just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Everywhere you go. So they have us on camera tasting food, right? So they bring over all this stuff, so they get a big piece of brisket. Cut off a piece. Soon as I put it in my mouth, sticks the microphone in my face. So how is it? And I'm like, because I just put like a wad of brisket in my mouth. And I'm like, thanks for sticking the microphone in my face as soon as I eat. I love Cleverly. She was awesome.
But you're like, okay, now I get the rodeo.
Now I get the
rodeo.
Now
I get it.
And while I don't wear a big hat, and I don't wear the boots, and I don't have a belt buckle the size of Texas, I do enjoy the rodeo. I love rodeo events. I love mutton busting. Mutton busting is hilarious. You never know what you're going to get. Like one kid will like get his head driven into the ground like a pile driver. 3 seconds on, he gets up and just like, yeah! Another kid rides all the way down, gets off, and they're like, oh, I want my mommy! It's funny. They're cute. They're little kids. But
I think I would have done well in mutton busting. Back in my day.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a little skinny kid.
I could bust some mutton. Yeah.
You know, I actually like the rodeo events. I like to watch the rodeo, which I'd never done until I moved here because I never thought of, hey, I should go watch a rodeo or watch this on, you know, ESPN The Ocho or whatever, you know, wherever I might be able to find rodeo. Maybe back in the day when ESPN was like on the air in 1980, and we had, you know, AWA wrestling and roller derby and strongman competitions because they didn't have rights to anything.
It feels like it would have been on Spike TV back in the day. I don't know that, but
I can see
it
that.
Feels like the rodeo would have been on Spike.
Spike, I could definitely see that maybe coming on right after Blue Mountain State, you know, something like that. But no, I love rodeo, and you know, this is Go Texan Day. Today is officially Go Texan Day, so it's like the start of the rodeo season. And I'm actually going to the cook-off tomorrow. So Saturday is usually my – and the best part about it is my daughter is away on some retreat, so I am kidless. I am not a parent. I get to embrace the debauchery of the rodeo, meaning I might have like two drinks. I get to embrace the debauchery of the rodeo, buy a bunch of stuff, and have a good time. This is, I am disappointed in the concert lineup.
Oh yeah,
it's the first time in the 10 years that I've been here. There is not a single show I'm interested in, not one.
I'll be honest. I don't know what the lineup is, but it does not surprise me.
It's really let's just say it lacks a lot of musical diversity. There's a lot of country. There's always a lot of country, but there's a lot of country.
And I'm sure there's like one like Latin night, one.
There's like one Tejano night.
Bun B takeover night.
Bun B is the only artist that I could tell you two songs of. And not that I don't respect Bun B, it's just not really my kind of music. Like if a song were to come on satellite radio, I'd listen to it, but I'm not going to go to a show and watch 2 hours of it. It's just not what I listen to. And that would be the closest thing of anything. There's like no rock groups at all this year. I don't consider the Chainsmokers to be a rock group.
I think most people would agree.
Yeah, they're not a rock group. So... they don't even have K-pop this year. Not that I'm a K-pop fan, but the K-pop has been a big deal the last few years. There's no K-pop this year.
You're not excited to see Machine Gun Kelly?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I couldn't name one Machine Gun Kelly song. I don't even know if I've heard a Machine Gun Kelly song.
You probably haven't. I'll say you. There's a good chance you have not.
Basically, every Machine Gun Kelly song like littered with F-bombs.
Yeah.
Okay,
a
yeah.
A lot. Probably Live never, is earlier stuff.
Probably never heard of him.
Yeah.
Is he one of these guys who... has as many tattoos as J.R. Smith?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. How'd you know? Wow. Good.
Just.
Good guess.
Let me just.
Currently on the rocks with his girlfriend, Megan Fox. How about that?
He's screwing up with Toe Thumb?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, she has weird thumbs, but still, she's Megan Fox. Although, maybe she's a little nuts. I mean, she had a really cushy thing with the whole Transformers series, and she screwed it up. I mean, look what it did for Shia LaBeouf. Who the hell is Shia LaBeouf? I don't even know if I'm saying that right. LaBeouf.
It's Shia.
Shia. Shia LaBeouf. I am LaBeouf. I have a movie career that will only transpire to one film series, and nobody will care about me when it is over. Pretty soon I will be out on the boat with my Uncle Jacques Cousteau trying to find the giant horny toad exploding octopus and stick a turkey baster in its back door. And then take off like a bat out of hell. Yeah, you screwed that up. She might be crazy. She's gorgeous. She might be crazy. Is there a hot, crazy Matrix line for you? Like, does she cross the line?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, she's
on the right side of history on that one.
Like, it doesn't matter how high, when you exceed the hot in crazy, there's a certain amount of crazy. It's like, all right, just, I can't go there.
Yeah, for sure.
She's on that list.
Every man has to have a code PC. Every man.
That code might be subject to change.
Yeah,
every
I mean,
moment.
Obviously, it's not a straight line. I would say there's a lot of exceptions to it, but
so
there is a code.
Megan Fox would qualify as too crazy on the crazy line.
Maybe not. I don't know. I'd have to get to know her. You know,
give you a month.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me enjoy the benefits before I have.
Yeah,
to cut
me. Megan Fox, call in 713-7-3776.
We need you. All right, Astros spring training. We'll get to some storylines from there. And look, I know that there's a few injury issues going on with the Astros. And, you know, the one thing, the only things we're really looking for from the Astros, because there's not a lot of position battles, we're looking for, you know, don't get hurt and be on time. And when I say be on time, I don't mean show up on time. I mean be on time for the season, meaning you're not behind, you're not, you know, you're ready to play. Your timing's not off, you know, you haven't built up your stamina, you're not ready to throw 80 pitches, or, you know, you haven't hit anything at all for 6 weeks, your bat's off, you're dealing with some kind of like nagging injury. Be on time, be ready to start the season like you're ready to play. The Astros have a few guys who are not going to be on time. And there is some consternation in this city by a lot of people regarding some of these guys who won't be on time. And we will get into that consternation, whether it is justified, next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
That's great in for Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What are you most concerned about, or what is most important to you for Astros spring training? 713-780-3776. Now, I have seen many people, whether they are on television or on radio or in media in some other way, or whether they're just fans on social media or whatnot, who are ready to hit the giant panic button. And we're in February. Let me say that again. We're in February. But, you know, don't really know what's going on as far as Uncle Mike. Is he going to be ready? Maybe he's going to be ready. Maybe he's not. He says that he feels good about his swing, but we'd heard, you know, from the team that, well, we don't know if he's going to be ready for opening day. And we see him taking grounders at first base. And while I see him like, why is he taking grounders at first base? He can't play first base. Oh, we have Jose Abreu. Exactly. We have Jose Abreu, who's probably going to play like 145 games. So the idea of Uncle Mike playing a lot of first base, no. Why is Uncle Mike taking grounders at first base? Maybe he's not ready to throw in the outfield yet. And, well, just because he can't throw doesn't mean he can't work out. He can still get in the cage and hit. And he can still field grounders. I mean, in the outfield, you do have to field grounders in the outfield. So it gets him a little work until he's ready to start getting some work in the outfield. Not anything to be paranoid of, oh my gosh, he's got to play first base. He's just not ready to throw. He's not ready to play the outfield yet. It's all right. Not a big deal. I think coming into spring training, I don't think anybody really truly expected Michael Brantley was going to be ready for opening day. And if he was ready for opening day, it would probably be DH only. And that might be about what we're looking at is, can he at least be ready to hit by opening day? You know you're going to have to manage Uncle Mike's workload. Then there's what's going on with Yordan Alvarez. And that hand injury that basically sapped Yordan for a month last season, and they kind of had to manage it the rest of the way. Well, apparently they didn't really do anything about it in the offseason, and now here it is flaring up again. Now, if we go back to last season with Yordan's hand injury, there was discussion about, does he have a hammock bone injury? And we don't know because the Astros, well, they don't tell us. Does he have a hammock bone injury? Now, a hammock bone injury, if he had to have surgery on that, wouldn't cost him a year. But generally, when you come back from hammock bone surgery, there's about a 2 to 3 month ramp up where the usual power that the hitter has, he doesn't have. The recovery of the surgery kind of saps your power for a little bit. Now, he's Yordan. Maybe it doesn't sap his power because he's huge. But does it affect him for a couple of weeks? Does it affect him for a month before he, you know, looks like Yordan again? I don't know. The fair question to ask is, were they too conservative in the way that they were treating Yordan Alvarez? Because by not really doing anything the entire offseason, they said, okay, well, we'll just treat with rest and hope that it goes away. Well, here we are a week in spring training and it's back. Now, because it's back, it's something you're going to have to manage all year long. So, any ideas of Yordan Alvarez playing 120 games in left field, they just went out the window. Not that anybody should have had those ideas to begin with, but it now creates a situation where Uncle Mike probably more leaning towards DH early in the season. Yordan Alvarez maybe more leaning towards DH early in the season. And the faux center field battle between Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers might not necessarily be a battle for playing time, but a battle over who's going to play center. Spoiler alert, it'll be Jake Myers. And I don't say that because Chaz has not distinguished himself as a capable center fielder. It's we know what the organization thinks of Jake Myers, and we know what Dusty thinks of Chaz as an everyday center fielder. Chaz will be playing left. When those two play together, Chaz will play left. Chaz is, you know, a more natural corner outfielder, and Myers will play center, natural center fielder. That's how the lineup will go when they're in the lineup together. We might wind up seeing more of that early in the season with either Yordan or Uncle Mike DHing early in the season until Yordan's hand is okay, until he's not feeling it. And that's a frustration because it's like, well, why didn't you handle this in the offseason? You know, they thought, hey, let's see if we can get away with not having surgery, and let's see if with rest it'll handle itself. Well, it didn't. Now they got to manage it all year long. And then, of course, the one that everybody's really concerned about would be Lance McCullers Jr. now not being available for opening day. Here's Lance McCullers Jr. talking about his timeline from spring training.
No, I mean, like I said, I mean, the goal would to, you know, be playing catch, you know, in the next couple weeks. But, you know, I've been through this enough times and, you know, I know a lot from my own mistakes of rushing rehabs or things of that nature. It's best to just, you know, take the road that you have to take. And if that's a little bit longer, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, I still have a goal of having a relatively full season and I want to make it back. When I do make it back, I want to be a big time contributor. You know, I want to feel like myself.
So here are the important things to know. It's not his UCL. That's the ligament that tears that they replace in Tommy John surgery. It's not his UCL. It's not a tendon. There's no torn muscle. There's no bone fracture. All the quote major issues. Well, we got to rule all those out. You're going to have to manage Lance McCullers Jr.? Yeah. Do we know we got to manage Lance McCullers Jr.? Yeah. If he misses the first month of the season, is it a big deal? Not really. And remember, this is not a lockout season. You didn't lose 3 weeks of the season and then have to compress the whole season down and lose a ton of off days. The Astros have an off day every single week. The entire month of April and the entire month of May. In fact, after the first week of April, the Astros basically are designated off every Thursday. So if you got plans for Thursday night, like if there's steak night at the local place by you and you want to be able to go steak night and not worry about, oh, am I going to miss an Astros game? Thursday night, go hit them up. They don't play on Thursday for damn near 2 months. When you get to June, July, and August, that's where there's not a lot of off days. Get back to September. Oh, look, Thursday's off again. So early in the season, if you've got to weather you know, Lance McCullers Jr. not being in the rotation for the first month, maybe the first 2 months, you've got a ton of off days. It's way easier to do it early in the season than middle of the season. You know, Dusty Baker was asked about, you know, did the Astros consider the idea of adding a veteran starter this winter? And Dusty said, well, you got to ask the powers that be. I got the power, but not the authority. That was always the consideration for me. We didn't have a general manager in place in order to make that move. I love Dusty, but man, Dusty's taking some shots here that aren't fair. There was nothing wrong with Lance McCullers Jr. until a week ago. So why exactly would the Astros be spending eight figures to bring in a free agent starter who would be their seventh starter? What would be the point of that? It didn't make a whole lot of sense. The whole reason you were cool with letting Verlander go was you liked your own rotation, the guys you had, the depth you had. And it's not like, oh, well, they didn't have a general manager. No, they had three general managers. And Jeff Bagwell, like, pseudo-general manager. Did not having, quote, one GM stop them from getting Jose Abreu? Did it stop them from signing Michael Brantley? Or did it stop them from re-signing Rafael Montero? I mean, let's be fair about this. There was never a reason for them to sign a veteran starter. I mean, didn't they run a veteran starter out of here basically for a guy who wasn't very good in Will Smith? I mean, didn't they run Jake Odorizzi out of here because, oh, well, you know, Lance McCullers Jr. is coming back. We don't need you. We've got too many. And as we saw, Odorizzi pitched a lot better in Houston than he has, well, anywhere else. You know, do you want another Jake Odorizzi? I know how much you guys loved Jake Odorizzi. Despite the fact that he pitched to a league average ERA, I know how much y'all loved Jake Odorizzi here in Houston. You want another guy like that? Because I'll tell you, you know who those guys are right now? Those free agent pitchers who were available? They're Mike Minor. Mike Minor had an ERA north of 6 last year pitching for the Reds. They're Chris Archer, 2-8 last year, 4.56 ERA for the Twinkies. They're Dylan Bundy, 8-8, 4.89 ERA last year for the Twinkies. They're Anibal Sanchez, who's 38, gets hurt every other month. He was 4-6 with a 4.28 ERA last year, and he's like the best of the bunch. Also, the guy couldn't make you or me swing and miss. JP France, Sean Dubin are going to give you just as good, if not better, production than any of those dudes that you got to pay, what, $8, $10 million for? Why? That's why you have JP France and Sean Dubin at 26, 27 years old, pitching at Sugarland, as guys that you have developed to be, you know, suitable replacement level players for you if you have injuries. And if the goal is to have the six-man rotation, which Dusty talked about keeping the six-man rotation at FanFest, if the goal is to keep the six-man rotation, then let JP France with Sean Dubin take that sixth spot. Because with every off day, if you're going to reset the rotation, so you keep Fromber on his schedule, that sixth spot is probably going to get skipped a couple of times. I mean, how many times is JP France going to pitch in April? Twice? Three times? They're the Astros. They're good enough to win two of those games. There's no reason to be panicking. Oh, you know, Lance isn't going to pitch the first, you know, couple of weeks. I don't need Lance to pitch in April. I need Lance to pitch in September. In fact, I feel like we just saw that happen, I don't know, last year. where Lance basically doesn't pitch until September. It's not. It's never panic time in February. Ever. It is never panic time in February. So let's not go crazy, be silly, think bad thoughts. Okay? We're not the Yankees. We're not haven't been to a World Series since 2009. We're not didn't really improve our team because we had to sign Aaron Judge to an $11 billion contract. That's not this team. This team is not littered with postseason failure. That's not this team. So there's no reason to be scared, worried, paranoid. All you need to do is puff out your chest. Two rings, biatch! That's all there needs to be. Speaking of competitions on this squad, should there be a competition in center field? We hit it next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
So I want you to imagine this scenario. You've been busting your hump, working your butt off, performing really well. And then on the biggest stage, you come through with one of the most clutch moments. And then, you know, your job is not secure. It's the life of Chazzy Fizz. Really what it is. The life of Chazzy Fizz. You know, should Chaz have a little more security than what he seems to have right now? And we ask this because it does seem that Dusty has always had a thing about Chaz being the everyday center fielder. Didn't want to make him the everyday center fielder when they traded Miles Straw. Forced him to timeshare with Mauricio Dubon. Forced him to timeshare with Jake Myers last year, even when Myers was struggling horribly. And while Chaz didn't hit as well last year as he did in 2021. Still produced an OPS plus of 110. That means he was 10% better than average. So the guy who was your eight hitter was 10% better than league average OPS. Get 14 homers. Has some opposite field pop. Has shown he can cover the whole damn outfield. Great speed. Good enough arm to make every throw. Oh, and he made a game-saving catch in Game 5 of the World Series at Citizens Bank Park and literally left his body imprint like he was dead and chalked on the track. But he doesn't have job security. Now, part of me says, you know, this is sports, right? You kind of never have job security. Anytime you don't perform, you don't have job security. And look, Jake Myers, we know what the organization thinks of Jake Myers, who's a guy that, look, they developed him. He wasn't a big-time prospect until 2021 when he was knocking the snot out of the ball at AAA. It was a big deal. It was a breakthrough season for him because prior to that point, Jake Myers had 89 at-bats above high A. And then he had a season off because COVID killed the 2020 minor league season. So he went essentially from 89 at-bats at Corpus straight to AAA Sugarland. And he hit 343. He had 1006 OPS. He had 16 homers and 10 stolen bases when he got called up. He was, in 2021, ranked as the Astros' number one defensive outfielder in their entire minor league system. Had a cannon for an arm, great speed, covered everywhere, and now is showing the contact and power at the plate that, you know, had eluded him. Sometimes he had some contact, sometimes he had some power, but he hadn't been able to put it all together until 2021. And you remember when he first came up, because I remember the day, it was the trade deadline day, and I was filling in. I was filling in for Nick because Nick wasn't going to be able to make the show that day. So Joel called me early in the morning. We were doing a remote at Carbach. It was AJ's going away party. And it happened to be deadline day. And when they traded Miles Straw, Joel was like, wait a second. They traded Miles Straw. Who the hell's going to play center field? I said, they're going to call up Jake Myers, and he's probably going to play. Well, who the hell is Jake Myers? They're telling me, you know, who Jake Myers is and about him and how, you know, this kid's just absolutely destroying baseballs in AAA, and they really like him. They love him defensively. He's probably going to get a shot to play. And ultimately, he did. And ultimately, he was the starting center fielder going into the postseason till he tore his labrum trying to run up a wall. And then last year, they brought him back too soon. He wasn't ready. They brought him back too soon. He hit pretty well for about 2.5 weeks, and then it all came undone. They sent him down to Sugarland, and when he went down to Sugarland, he refound himself. You know, when he was up with the big league team last year during the summer, he was no longer able to catch up to high-velocity fastballs, something that he never had a problem with before. All of a sudden, he couldn't hit him, couldn't catch up. You know, was he tired? Did his shoulder hurt? Was it in his head? But he got down to Sugarland, and he refound his swing. And he hit 306, 7 homers in a month, and 913 OPS, and got called up with 5 days to go before the end of the season. You knew that wasn't really enough time for him to make the postseason roster. But in those 5 games that Jake Myers played at the very end of the season, he was 5-for-11. So if Jake Myers, if they can get the Jake Myers, who's been, you know, destroying baseballs in AAA to some degree, right? If Myers, I mean, think about it. If Myers hits 275 with a 350 on base and plays the defense that we know is capable, he's an all-star player. If he hits 275 with a 350 on base, he's probably got an 800 OPS. He's an all-star. And if you can get that player, you're going to take that player over Chaz. Even though Chaz gives you his heart and soul every single game, Chaz can be a fourth outfielder. And depending on what's going on with Michael Brantley, depending on what's going on with Jordan's hand, that fourth outfielder might get a lot of playing time in left field. Because it looks like early in the season, you're not going to be playing Jordan and Uncle Mike. You might be playing Jordan or Uncle Mike. Injuries happen. You need to have depth. But that is a center field battle where, to me, even though we know they like Myers better defensively. They like his arm. They like his bat. They like everything more than they like Chaz. But because Chaz has shown you he can produce the major league level, to me, Myers should have to outplay him significantly in spring training. He should have to outplay him by a notable margin if he is going to, quote, take the job. If they play about even and you want to make it a timeshare until one of them separates themselves during the season, okay. But if he's going to take the job, he's got to rock it in spring training and Chaz has to struggle. because Chaz has shown you he can take it at the major league level. And Jake really hasn't just quite yet. All right, before we hit the break, how would you like to just, I don't know, play hooky, take a day off of work? That sounds like fun, right? What would make that day even more fun? How about playing hooky, taking a day off of work, and playing golf with us? That's right. Join your favorite sports station, ESPN 97.5, for the occasional invitational presented by SideJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament is Wednesday, March 8th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer gets beverages, and you know what kind of beverages we're talking about because they come from Carbach Brewing. You get lunch, you get dinner, you get 18 holes of golf and an award ceremony after the tournament. Register now, ESPN975.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN975.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
DC and Paulie G. Astros spring training. So, Jordan today still not participating in any on-field drills. And Dusty has said there is no update. If he's not participating, well, yeah, there's not going to be an update because, you know, what are the Astros going to tell us? Well, he has some discomfort. They're going to use the D word. There's some discomfort. We don't know where the discomfort is. We're not sure which hand it's in, but there's discomfort. When he's, well, one thing we know about Jordan, when Jordan's getting ready to play, he'll tell us. Because Jordan didn't have a problem telling us, no, no, not that hand, this hand. So I think Jordan will tell us when that we get to that point. Rafael Montero has arrived at Astros camp. He's had visa issues, but he is now there. It's only a week late. Sometimes these guys who get visa issues, you know, it could be like the end of March before they get into town. So fortunately for Montero, it's only been a week. But you'd think after you just got a nice fat contract as a career journeyman reliever, now all of a sudden you get your first ever big fat contract. Might want to get your visa stuff in order. I mean, I'm just saying.
I know nothing about the visa process whatsoever. However, how does this happen? Like, how does that happen?
Bro, you have an agent.
He's a millionaire now. Like, he's a multi-millionaire. Just like, hey, this is the date that my visa has to be in order by.
You'd think this would be, hey, what do I got to do to get to work on time now that I've got a fat 3-year deal?
Also, it is just a very easy thing to be like, oh, he's not here, visa issues. I feel like there's never a follow-up, like, but specifically, like, what does that mean? Nah, visa issues.
Well,
paperwork.
And I can tell you this because, if you've ever had a Twic card, right now our government processes paperwork at glacial speed. If you are someone who, like, you had a Twic card, or you could, you know, the card that lets you just blow past security in the airport. Well, if you sent your renewal in December, they still haven't looked at it yet. Your government dollars at work.
So it's just up the food chain issue.
There is very much an up the food chain issue.
Okay.
So it could very well be that they just didn't process him.
Could he have written on there like ASAP, please, I'm a World Series champion? And they would.
You'll get an automated email message that says, you know, we will get to them in the order they are received. Please do not reply to this message. This mailbox is unmonitored. Yeah, that's kind of how it works. The government doesn't care.
You can't slip in his postseason ERA?
They do.
Oh, okay.
Remember, it's not in Houston.
True.
So putting
true.
That
they're
in
probably
there,
Yankees fans,
probably
haters.
Is like, oh, he pitches for the Astros. Let's
screw him over.
Let's dog this one. You know what? Let's let's flag him for full body cavity search. Because, you know, that's how people treat the Astros in every other market. It doesn't matter that every single one of them are also cheating SOBs, because they just deny it with, well, only the Astros got caught. I mean, the Red Sox got caught twice, but only the Astros got caught. The Dodgers and the Yankees talk the most junk. The Yankees got exposed with their Yankee letter. They spent millions and millions of dollars trying to hide. They had baseball help them try to hide it. And the whole idea of, well, we only used the bullpen phone inappropriately one time turned out to be the biggest, fattest lie ever been told. They were doing it for years, unchecked, for years. But that's okay. The Dodgers, who, I mean, you look at their, look at Cody Bellinger's numbers. He went from MVP to can't hit a beach ball. Why? Oh, baseball cracked out on the video room. Coincidence? Sean, I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing as a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence.
It is also a, well, you just said there's no such thing as coincidence. There's a real coinkydink that the last time that Mookie Betts batted over 300 was in 2018.
Yeah, he was the MVP. He's the biggest year of his life.
A lot of Red Sox in 2018 had career years. And anyway.
Yeah, only anyway. One Astro weird. In 2017. One Astro had a career year outlier.
Marwin Gonzalez.
A role player. Mookie Betts is the freaking MVP. Yeah, no tarnish on that. Only Altuve stole an MVP. Mookie Betts. So Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, the two biggest bats of the 2018 Red Sox, are now both on the Dodgers. And they both heavily advocated for them to sign the Red Sox video guy who was deemed the, quote, rogue employee and suspended for a year. They signed him in L.A. Now, why do you think they did that?
So you think all the talk about, like, oh, the Dodgers would never want Carlos Correa. How could they ever get along? You think that was, like, BS?
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Also, I would love to be described as a rogue employee at some point.
A rogue employee that the players, if you took the time to read Evan Drellick's new book, Winning Fixes Everything, the Red Sox players took up a collection to pay that guy like $200,000 while he was suspended because he took care of them. But remember, the players didn't do anything wrong, and he was just one rogue employee. Players felt obligated to take care of him for everything he did for them, but they didn't do anything wrong, and he was one rogue employee. Yes.
$200,000?
Over.
Oh, my God. I mean, it makes sense. They're all, like, super rich.
Yeah, they're all super rich. Everybody, you know, 10,
just
20,
imagine,
50 grand.
Just like, yeah, I would be a rogue employee for $250,000 gift.
And now that guy who was, you know, branded by baseball, cheater, is in L.A., where we're the high, mighty, holy roller white hats of baseball. We never do anything wrong. How many 2018 Red Sox are you going to put on that team? And now match them up with the video guy and say, oh, yeah, nothing to see here. There's nothing nefarious going on.
Dave Roberts better watch out, because Alex Cora might steal his job.
Man, it's crazy to me. There is no hypocrisy like Dodgers hypocrisy. There really isn't. Unless you want to count Brian Cashman, who, you know, at the beginning of last season said, well, the only reason we didn't win a World Series in the last 10 years is because of the most heinous, egregious cheating ever.
He said it's offensive to me when you say we haven't made a World Series in 15 or 10 years.
Hey, Brian, tell me who was using that video room first. And you still lost? It's like the idea being of, well, yeah, we were cheating, but you cheated better than us and beat us, so only you cheated. You know, we wrapped our hands inside our boxing gloves with plaster of Paris instead of regular wraps, but you hit us the punch first. This is, you know, we cheated. We just weren't as successful at it as you. Or we were cheating, but you were still better, but we will never admit that.
It's like Sammy Sosa being like, man, Barry Bonds, that guy ruined baseball. Blight on the game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Barry Bonds' fault.
Anyway, I'm Sammy Sosa.
Well, you know, and this is the part that kills me about that is all the stuff that like McGuire and Sosa were using was all perfectly legal when they used it. But like, oh, in 1998, here's Mark McGuire, this big tub of Andro in his locker. Yeah, you know what? You could go to GNC and buy that tub for $40. I know because I did. I saw him have it. I'm going to go try what McGuire uses. It worked. I mean, didn't work as good as it did for McGuire because, I don't know, he's got like a professional training team making him huge. Plus, McGuire was already huge. But it worked. I didn't have all the other stuff. But the point is, you basically blackballed the guy from the game for a product that was not only legal in baseball, but was legal anywhere in America. Anybody could walk in and take it. And then you ex post facto banned him for it, essentially. First save our game. Now we'll exclude you from it like it never happened because the true savior is Bud Selig. Car salesman Bud. The true savior of the game. In the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, that's Hall of Famer, Bud Selig.
In the Hall of Fame, Bud Selig. Yeah. I'll tell you a baseball story later on today that not only shows how crazy things in baseball were and what was considered cheating, but also involves the NCAA being a disgraceful organization, even in the 60s, just because it's fun to tell stories. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Hey, you know what? There is football in this city this weekend, and we're going to talk about it next.
ESPN 97.5.